Revelation 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And one woe is past. Behold, there come two more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision of them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornications, nor their thefts. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this great revelation that you gave to John to share with us, to help us know what is surely coming in your day, and to give us opportunity to repent and to prepare before that day comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 8. We've seen some magnificent things that John has been given in his vision that Jesus has given to him. We've seen the throne room of heaven and the angels surrounding it, and the 24 elders, the angels surrounding them, and the songs they sing. We've seen the lamb that was slain, obviously Jesus Christ, there. And remember, he was found worthy to open the scroll, the title deed to the earth. What it means is the day is finally going to come when God is going to take control of the earth once again. God made, we see in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what did God say about it? It was very good. There, God made a perfect and wonderful creation. There was no death, no suffering from that. He created all the earth, all the heavens, all the creatures on this earth, and Adam named them, and he created Adam and Eve, and he put them in a garden that he had already planted with fruitful trees and everything there, and he gave them just one command, that the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, lest they die. And of course, what did we do? And we understand, we're just like him, aren't we? The one thing we're not supposed to do is the thing we most want to do. Okay? It's like, you take a child and it's like, don't touch that one thing in the room. Where will their fascination be on that? That's the one thing they really want to do. That's why I wonder why sometimes, I know, have you ever seen at the gas station, they've got that big red button, emergency pump shut off. It's not usually real obvious, but it's usually there. And we used to have them in the computer room, all this computer equipment. There's an emergency shutoff. So if a fire breaks out, you can hit that and shut the electrical power off to keep feeding it. Well, I understand its purpose. It's very important. But with whoever designed that doesn't know human nature. Okay? Because you put this big red button up and say, don't touch. And what's it do? It just makes you want to go see, It just attracts your attention. It's like, it's just the one thing. It's like, no, don't get anywhere close to that. I don't want to touch it. But it's just so prominent right there. This one, I wonder what would happen if I hit this button. I never did. It did happen once. I think I told you before. We had a salesman come, and he was visiting the computer room manager in there. And then he didn't walk him out. He said, well, just let yourself out. There's a little button right by the door you push. There was this little green button right by the doorknob to release the lock, and let it out. He said, there's a button by the door that you can push to get out. So what did he do? He hit the big red button. Shut the whole world down, on his way out. They put a cover over the big red button after that. Learn the hard way. But the one thing not to do, but of course, we did it. Adam and Eve did it. We've done it since. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we've taken this beautiful, perfect creation that God had created, and we let sin enter. It brought in death. It brought in suffering. Brought in more sin. And we've suffered with that ever since. We all face that, right? We all get hurt. We all do things we shouldn't do. We hurt other people's feelings. We do whatever. And we all live in a body that's dying. It's hard to realize that when you're young. But guess what? You get up my age, you start to realize that things are wearing out. Okay? There's only so many things they can replace. The dentist can replace a tooth, and they can even replace a joint or something these days. But there's just so much they can do. We're all going downhill. But guess what? God is going to come back and reclaim this earth. That's what he's promised. That's what this is all leading up to. It's why Jesus Christ is opening these seals. And the ultimate goal is he's going to come back and rule and reign. He's going to restore this earth to its created glory. Wonderful. But the path there is going to be a tough one. Okay. It's like in D-Day, World War II, D-Day, okay? The Normandy, that was tough. A lot of men gave their lives. They fought and struggled and worried, but they'd been away from home for 2 or 3 years by that point, but they said to one another, they said, boys, the way home is through Berlin. We've got to go put an end to the problem before we can go back home, okay? The way home is through Berlin. Okay. Well, the way home, the way that God's restored earth, the new heavens and the new earth, is through the great tribulation. Not a pleasant thought, but it's God bringing his judgment on the earth in order to take control back. He's got to win it all back from Satan's control. So we're now getting to the fifth and sixth trumpets. And there, as the angel flew through heaven at the end of chapter 8, said, woe, woe, woe. Because they've already had four trumpets of judgments, but the next three are going to be worse than the first four. So let's start with the fifth trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Okay. Well, it wasn't as we define a star today, which is a hot burning, you know, something like our sun. I guess if that fell to earth, there wouldn't be anything after that. Okay, that wouldn't be it. And we'd fall to it anyway. It's bigger than we are. But a star is some light in heaven. Okay, think about astronomers in the early days. You look up and you see lights in heaven. And what are they? They're stars. How does, and now we know that sometimes it's really Venus or something. Of course, these days it might be a satellite, an airplane, something like that. It could be a meteorite, a comet. But stars are associated with the angels. Many times with the angels. So this time, it is an angelic being that falls from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Okay. Now, the angel is not identified, but I do wonder if it's not one of God's heavenly host, but Satan or one of his evil demons, because remember, they get cast out of heaven to the earth. It talks about more later, so that may happen later. But this angel is allowed to come down and open something it calls the bottomless pit, or the word is the abyss. Okay, an abyss. They call that in the ocean a lot of times. If there's a deep hole, they don't know the bottom, it's an abyss. Okay, it's a bottomless pit. So this angel comes and opens it. So this is a picture of, if you've been there, you've seen the entrance to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. Okay, if you've been there, it's really kind of a small, if you're driving out to Carlsbad Caverns, you wouldn't think anything was there, right? It's just, you're just driving around New Mexico desert, and then suddenly you come up to this and you see this hole in the ground. Well, it doesn't look like it's all that big. I mean, it's like, okay, there's a hole there. It's not a big thing, but if you've ever gotten to go inside, there's a lot inside that hole. It's an amazing maze of caverns. But the part that I was thinking about is in the evening, the bats come out. If you've ever stayed, now I've never stayed to watch. They don't come out till sundown. We've usually gone on and not stayed. But if you stay to watch, it's sundown. That's when the bats who've been living inside there, and if you go in, you can see them. They're hanging all over the place. And you can see their droppings all over the place. But at night, when the bugs are out, I'm grateful for bats because they eat a lot of mosquitoes. And so you turn them loose and they come in a swarm. It's like a black cloud coming out of that, and just a huge cloud of them coming up, and you can hear them at their wings flapping and they're squeaking and squawks, and they come flying out of there. That's how I picture this demonic host that comes out of the great abyss, okay, but on a much bigger scale. And this is a big enough scale. But it says, and he opened the bottomless pit. So apparently God has imprisoned a great number of demons there. Wow, you look at our world today, you think, surely all the demons are out loose running around. Okay, but they're not. God has imprisoned some of them. We read about some of it back at the time of the flood. Okay, that's why God brought on the flood, because the demons had influenced the people so, and things got so corrupt, and God took some of the demons and left them in chains. We'll read about that too in a minute. So there are more demons that God has held in restraint. Okay? We think, oh, there's these horrible things going on, but God is still in control. God has control. They can only do as much as God allows. So there is this abyss, this bottomless pit. This is not hell. Hell is the lake of fire. Okay? But now there is a bottomless pit that contains an untold number of demons, and God is going to let them out for this specific purpose. It says, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. Okay, so you think of a big fire burning and the smoke just billowing out. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So it would darken them, because you have this black cloud of smoke that would darken everything. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Okay, locusts. Now, we've seen locusts. We've even seen them here to some degree. I don't remember how many years ago we had locusts come through. And they came through, and it was not as large as can be in many places of the world, but they came through and they just stripped all the trees of their leaves, everything, any crops, anything that was on the ground, they just came through. And they just look like a bunch of grasshoppers, but it's just a whole swarm of them, and they come through and eat everything. Come through. In the Middle East, they can come in much larger numbers. There's been recorded incidents where they cover tens of thousands of square miles, and there's not a green thing left when they go through. Just dead. They're just grasshoppers, but you put millions upon millions of them, they can do untold damage. But these are not grasshoppers. But it says locusts come through, and they were given power as scorpions. Okay, now that's a scary thought. I mean, locusts, they do all this damage, but in the end, if you get one, it's just a grasshopper. And about all a grasshopper can do is scratch it with his scratchy legs. It's not really do much harm. But scorpions, I don't like to mess with. Okay. Now, I have not been stung by a scorpion, but people that have told me that it's one of the most painful stings. I've been stung by ants. I've been stung by wasps, but that really wasn't that bad. But a scorpion is a very painful sting. Right? The biggest scorpion I ever saw, I've seen a few little, when we lived in San Antonio, I'd see a few little ones would get in the house now and then, this and that, you know, about this long with their tail kind of curled up. When I was in Belize, I was down there with a church group, and we stayed at this church, and they had, the restrooms were some outhouses, but they were nice concrete outhouses with a sink and everything that the church had built there years before. And so one of the girls came back in going, I can't go out there. There's a scorpion in the bathroom. And I was like, pfft. Of course, this was in Central America. Okay, things are a little bigger down there in the jungle. And we were out in the jungle. And I was like, okay, no big deal. I go take care of it. So I go out there, and in the porcelain sink, kind of trapped because he slips, he kind of gets stuck in the sink, is a scorpion about that long with his tail curled up over his back. He was just huge. And I'm like, how far can they reach with that tail? I wasn't sure. I didn't really want to. I had a rock. I thought, I'll just smash him. No big deal. I didn't want to get close enough to do that. So I'm standing outside the door on a bucket where I can see down in the sink, and I was chunking rocks at him. This and that. Fortunately, someone had a roll of toilet paper, because down there it's so humid and rainy. We kept our toilet paper in a Ziploc bag, and that was sitting on top of the sink. And so my rock had knocked or at least they'd left the bag there, had knocked that plastic bag down over the top of the scorpion. And I thought, oh, goody. I felt safe from that, and I was able to get. But that was a serious scorpion, okay? I didn't want to mess with him at all, and I did not get stung, so it was okay. But here's a whole host. You can't avoid them. It's not one. They're just coming in a host. It says they were given power as scorpions of the earth have power. Well, what power do scorpions have? To sting. That's what the power they have. That's what they're good at. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. These are not normal locusts. They're not eating all the trees and all the grass and all this and that. Matter of fact, remember in the last plague, we had the grass got burned up. Okay, it's just now coming back, I guess. And so them, no, leave the grass alone. Their job is to torment. Neither any green thing nor any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Okay, these locusts are really demons. And what they have is the power to torment people. That's what they're here for. That's all they do. It's like, ooh, that doesn't sound like a good thing to have. Well, I don't think God is here creating new creatures. I think these are demonic forces that have been around for a long time. God has chosen at this point in time to let them loose. I don't think they're real insects. I think they are demons in some form or fashion. But he's describing them as locusts because there's so many of them, and they all swarm and come in, and then they have some terrible sting. Like, whoa, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. Well, the good news is, they only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Right? They're not going to touch the saved people. Whew. That's a relief. Okay. Well, you remember back in Egypt, most of the plagues didn't touch the Jews, did they? Their cattle didn't get the diseases. The hail didn't fall on them. The death of the firstborn did not fall on them if they obeyed God and painted the blood over the door. Okay? That is my comfort for these scary end times. The end times are scary. The Great Tribulation is scary. But if you're a true believer, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that says it all right there. Jesus was his name. And he was a man. And Jesus means Savior. Christ means he was God's anointed Messiah, the one sent to save. And Lord is who he is. He's the Lord. And so we have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, where he paid the price for our sins. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that whosoever believeth in him, okay, believing in him doesn't just mean believing he lived, it means trusting him as your Lord and Savior. We don't call many people Lord these days. We would say boss, the one we're obedient to, the one who we recognize as being over us and we surrender our lives to. So if we accept him as our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Messiah, then we have God's seal in our foreheads. And we are spared this torment from these demonic creatures that it sounds awful. Well, why would God do that? Well, because their purpose is to drive men to repentance. If you're already saved, you don't need to be driven to repentance. Okay? You may need to repent of but we've got the Holy Spirit to convict us when we do wrong and bring us to repentance. But God is using that. This horrible thing is not just meanness. This horrible thing is God giving lost sinners every opportunity and motivation to repent. Because we know how we are. Sometimes it takes some suffering to get us to turn back and realize our need of God. And so he is giving all the lost people on earth 5 months of excruciating torture in order to repent. Okay? No, this is not the Spanish Inquisition. This is opportunity to realize that he's God. And without his protection from the demonic forces, we're vulnerable. I hate to tell you this, but we're weak little things. When we compare to the spiritual powers that are out there, you remember God sent one angel to save Jerusalem and he slew, 186,000 hardened troops? One angel, okay? We don't stand a chance against demonic forces. All we have is God's protection. Those forces are out there. I don't spend much time thinking about them or worrying about them or, you know, I don't get all panicky on Halloween or this and that. The latest thing is there's a lot of attention on aliens again, UFOs, because the United States government released a lot of the documentation they have on UFOs, but now they're called unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs or something like that now, because UFO has the connotation of little green men. What they really are is they're just some kind of a sighting that we can't explain. And they've released data. And there is a lot of data. It is from good sources. We're talking radar and, you know, fighter pilots and this and that. And they have some things they've seen that they can't explain. Okay? Now, the bodies of aliens and this and that, like there's some of those supposedly from Peru and whatever, those were faked. That's just a fake and isn't anything. And the stuff from Roswell, New Mexico, that's tourist trap stuff and whatever. But there have been sightings of objects moving at incredible speeds, about doing right angle turns without slowing down and things like that that we can't explain. Even though 90% of the UFO sightings are Venus, and sometimes it's gas clouds, sometimes it's weather balloons, most of it can be explained away. But there are things that we can't explain, okay? There's many people that will swear to alien abductions and this and that, and you think, well, they're just nutty. Well, maybe they are, but they're amazingly similar. And it's interesting to track it over time. Gary Bates from creation.com, has Creation Ministries International, has just retired, but he's written a book on it, made a movie on it. Very interesting, very well documented. But there's a lot of things out there we can't explain. And I won't say it's not there. I will say they're not aliens from another world. I'm sure of that. But if God allows demonic forces to manifest themselves, they could do supernatural things, right? Because they're supernatural creatures. Okay? There's things that can happen. Am I afraid of that? Well, I'm too afraid to mess with it. I don't play with Ouija boards or do seances or do anything to where I could be influenced by demonic forces. Drugs is a huge way that lets demonic forces in, and our world is getting taken over by drugs. We've got, legally, we've prescribed so many for kids for various things. We've legalized marijuana so many places. We've had, you know, there's so many things we've done, and I think we're opening ourselves up more and more to demonic forces, and so we're going to see more and more manifestations as we do that. The one thing that Gary Bates found is all of the people that have reported actual alien abductions, and they mostly report terrible things they did to them, okay? And even the ones, there's even a few that said, no, it was a great experience. He says, give me 10 minutes to talk to them, and we'll find, you know, it gets down to it was really awful. It always was. But their experiences are very similar between different people that don't know each other. There's something to it. But every single one of them had done something in their life to open themselves to demonic influence, whether it was drugs or seances or something like that. They were all into that in some way or another. And so therefore they were more susceptible and Satan was able to get at them. It's just like getting demon possessed. And so I don't worry about getting demon possessed. That's because I'm Holy Spirit possessed. And he's not going to let anybody else move in. But if you're not saved and do not have the Holy Spirit within, and if you do things that would allow demons to come in, most people I've heard of that seem to, they've actually invited them in for one reason or another. Foolish, but they have. And when they come in, they take over. Okay, so these things are going on, but what made me think of all that is, of course, you might have heard rumors that there's some kind of sporting event this afternoon. I've heard these rumors that there's some big deal going on this afternoon. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. If you're like me, and forget about it, but my students bring it up, and I'm like, oh, okay, Super Bowl's going on. I used to, that would have been a big deal. I would have known that, but haven't watched it lately, which is fine if you want to watch the Super Bowl. But the big deal, Super Bowl ads are a big deal, right? That's what companies spend the most money on. I don't know what the price is this year. I didn't look it up. But last year, I think it was like $1 million, a 30-second spot. And they usually spend $4, $5, $6 million on producing it. Well, I did see an ad on the internet for an upcoming Super Bowl ad. And it was kind of strange. I had to watch it a couple times to figure out what it had to do with the sponsor. That's what gets me about commercials these days, is it's hard to tell what it's for. It's like, somebody paid a bunch of money for this, but I don't know what their product was. What do they want me to buy? I don't know. But in this case, it was by a company called Squarespace that sells internet web services, websites and things like that. And so the ad is all these people are just, you know, walking around with their heads down on their cell phones. It looked just like a normal day anywhere. Watching all these people, nobody's paying any attention. They're all just on their cell phones. And these spaceships, these alien-looking spaceships are flying overhead. And nobody's noticing. And the aliens, they show the aliens up in their little spaceship. And they're getting frustrated because they're trying to make contact and nobody's paying attention. They're even flying outside the windows of this boardroom with their ships and making a bunch of maneuvers and this, that. Nobody's paying attention. Everybody's too busy looking at their screen. You know, we're totally focused on this. So the alien's getting really frustrated. So he reaches over and he hits a button. And then suddenly they take over everybody's screens. They put their message, you know, alien message there. And then everybody notices and looks up and sees them. So I guess they're just trying to say, nobody will see you these days if you don't have a website or whatever. I assume that's what it was for. But it was expensively produced. It cost a lot of money. It's going to be a Super Bowl ad. So they spent millions on this thing. But this, the idea of aliens, well, demons would seem like aliens to us, would they not? And they're very powerful. beings. And so, yes, something we don't need to mess with. No, it's not something a Christian needs to fear. Just like the end times is not something a Christian needs to fear. Okay. Now, I said a Christian. That means someone who has given their life to Jesus Christ, who's walking in obedience to His Word, who knows Him, who has the Holy Spirit within you, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't want to be anything else in these end times at all. Here, these demons are inflicting great suffering. It's an opportunity to repent. It looks like, to me, it'd be a good time. If you weren't a Christian, you might want to be one. You know, what was the old ad? What was you growing up? I grew up in West Texas, so they actually had ads for oil wells. It was like Western Oil Services or something. If you don't have an oil well, get one. You know, that was the slogan on this. And if you're not a Christian, this would be a good time to be one. Okay, you would think it would drive you to that, to avoid it. So they're not bothering the believers. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them. Okay, these horrible demonic torture, but they're not dying. The purpose is not for them to die. The purpose is for them to repent. So God has limited even these awful beings He's allowed out. If it were Satan, Satan loves to kill. Satan loves death. Okay? But He's not allowing the kill because He wants to give them an opportunity to repent. They should be tormented for 5 months. Okay, 5 months. That's a typical locust plague, is about 5 months. It goes through. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So it was severe. And in these days shall men seek death. They're so miserable, they want to die. Okay? That always gets me when people are suicidal and they want to die. You know that's a lie of Satan because it doesn't make you better off. You think, well, I'm going to get out of this suffering. It's like if you're lost and suffering, the way to get out of that is get saved. To kill yourself would just send you to an eternity in hell, a godless eternity. That's not better where you are, and there's no way out. But the salvation is the way out. And they shall desire, and death shall flee from them. Now, that's pretty frustrating. You're so desperate that you're willing to die. You want to kill yourself, and you can't even do it. Can't even kill yourself. That's how desperate they are. And the shapes of the locusts. Okay, now, this is a very unusual locust. They're like unto horses. So I imagine they're large, larger than normal locusts. They're large, they look like horses, prepared unto battle. Hey, battle horses. They've got armor on, they've got banners, they've got all this. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. These are the victor's crowns that they use. So that means you're not stopping them. We didn't come up with some insecticide and send all our crop dusters out there and stop them. They're victorious over man. And their faces were like the faces of men. So these are not insects. These are conscious beings, I think demons. And this is the unusual part. And they had hair is the hair of women. Okay, these horrible, but they've got long, luxurious, beautiful hair like a woman. Like that's kind of strange. But their teeth are like the teeth of lions. To me, that just makes it worse. You know, you see this long, beautiful, luscious hair, and then you're looking at a lion's teeth. And the other side is kind of a contradiction, the beauty of a woman with the ferociousness of a lion. And they had breastplates, so they've got iron breastplates to protect them. And there were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Okay, so I don't think they're just regular old insects. And as some people have said, I don't think they're Apache helicopters either. Okay, I mean, yeah, you can compare. They make a lot of noise when they do it. But it's not that. It's something worse than Apache helicopters. Okay, it's demons. Something you don't want to mess with. You want to be on God's side where you're still under God's protection. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Sorry, ladies, this men is the generic men and women, mankind. It's not just males. Sorry about that. And they had a king over them. That's different than insects don't have a ruler. over them, but these had a ruler over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. So there was a demon that rules all the others from this bottomless pit. And his name, now this, it's not Satan, but his name was Abaddon in Hebrew, or in Greek, that's Apollyon. Both of those names mean destroyer. That's what he does. He's leading the destruction of the earth. God has let him out at this time. One woe is past. Whew. Boy, you've begun that 5 months is over. It's like, good, one woe is past. But then what does he say? Behold, there come two more woes hereafter. So God's not letting up. Now he goes to the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the corner of the altar, which is before God. Remember, we've been talking about the altar of incense where the angel came. We saw that before. The horns of the altar is the way they built their altars. It would be there. It would be a square box, but they had spikes on the corners. That's the way they built their altars. There were horns. That I know the big altar outside, that's where sometimes people that were in danger would go and cling to that and plead the altar. You can't kill me. I'm pleading sanctuary. I hold on to the horns of the altar. Okay. Well, it has horns on that. And saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet. So this voice comes out from that area saying, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay, so there are more demons because God doesn't bind his holy angels. He doesn't have to. They do what he wills. They're always doing his will. But he binds satanic angels. And I think these were bound at the time of the flood. These were horrible angels that did such horrible things that God destroyed the earth except for Noah and his family, for eight souls. And he's bound these angels ever since, for which we're grateful. They haven't been able to come upon this earth, but at the end, he's going to turn them loose. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now remember that last 5 months, nobody's dying. Okay? Nobody dies because God's giving them opportunity to repent. But when these four are loosened, they're going to destroy a third of the population of the world. Wow. The group that meets in Davos, Switzerland, there, the World Economic Forum, they should be really happy, right? They keep wanting to reduce the world population. Well, here, a quarter of the earth's population has been destroyed already. I think it's fallen from heaven, and now another third. So if you figure a quarter and a third, you got to do your common denominator. That winds up being 7/12. It's over half. So over the half the population of the world has been destroyed at this point. That's still not as bad as the World Economic Forum. They want to take our 7 billion people down to 500 million people. Okay, so they want to destroy more than that. So they should be delighted with this plan. Except I'm afraid they're going to be in the half that they don't want to be in. And the number of the army of the horsemen, okay, there's a huge army, and they're calling them horsemen, 200,000. Well, 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. So 200 million man army. Okay, that's a big army. I forget the numbers. The United States Army is not nearly that large. Right? But, that is a large number. And he said, and I heard the number of them. Well, you could say, well, John, you couldn't have counted. You just looked out and said, man, there's millions and millions out there. You know, I agree, he didn't have time to count 200 million people. But he heard it. Somebody else counted them. And he heard an angel or something say how many there were. So he said, no, I know how many there were. I was told. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Okay, now remember, this is a vision. So things can be symbolic. There's a real judgment coming and has real effect on this earth. But locusts are not always grasshoppers, and horses are not necessarily horses. They seem to be demonic forces. And them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. No, it doesn't sound like normal horses, does it? Out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Maybe there are dragons. Okay, that's more what these sound like. And these three was the third part of men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Okay, so horrible demonic destruction. But God has said, okay, I gave you 5 months to repent. You better have taken it, because now he opened up the doors of death. Death has returned. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Oh no, these have bad tails too. Their tails were not scorpions this time, serpents, venomous serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So not over this horrible horse with a lion's head, but its tail is venomous snake. Okay, so they're doing much harm, and they're bringing death this time, not just stings of a scorpion, they're bringing death. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. What? I mean, talk about hard-hearted. Repented not. They didn't. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. They continued in idolatry, false worship, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Wow, pretty foolish to worship inanimate objects, isn't it? But what has man always done? You can look at history. You remember ancient Egypt. You remember the Greeks, the Romans. What did they worship? Statues, gold and silver and this and that. What about India today? Hinduism has, what, 365 million gods, something like that? All false gods. Well, what about us wonderful intellectual skeptics that don't believe in any God? What do we worship? Well, like Carl Sagan, we worship the cosmos, right? We said the cosmos is our creator. You know what they say? We say there was a Big Bang way back, and it blew up and created everything. We're just a product of that. Well, we're worshiping a God that cannot see, nor hear, nor walk. Same thing. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. So they're continuing on with their evil deeds. We're not following God's word, right? He just picked a few out of the Ten Commandments there. Okay. What's the sixth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Okay, there's the murders. Nor their sorceries. Sorceries. That's the word pharmakeia. Okay, so that would be any demonic supernatural worship. That would be drugs, anything like that. Not, I'm not talking about your aspirin or your things like that. I'm talking about hallucinogenic drugs that detach your mind from your body and this and that. Sorceries, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what you're worshiping there. I would lump in this Eastern mysticism, the yoga, the meditation, the worship the God within, all that stuff under sorceries. Nor their fornication. Okay, that is running rampant in our world. And that's any kind of sexual sin. Pornography, immorality, all that sort of thing. Nor their thefts. Thou shalt not, what's the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. There's the thefts. Thou shalt not covet. So even though God has brought these horrors, judgments upon the earth, men are still unwilling to repent. Now what I find amazing is God is still willing to receive our repentance. In spite of all this, God is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will give you forgiveness for your sins. He's there. He's willing to accept, even if we've done all these things, He's willing to accept us if we will but turn from them and ask God to forgive us. Trust Him to be our boss and follow His commandments. He's willing, but so many harden their hearts. So then He lets death come upon. First, a third of the world. You think that'd get your attention? That, you know, a third of the world, that's pretty serious. We got all worked up over COVID. COVID had a 1% mortality rate, not a 33% mortality rate. Okay. 33% mortality rate would shake you up. That's what he's trying to do, shake us up so that we'll repent while there's still time. It is given for man once to die and then the judgment. So God is trying to reach us. He's been trying to reach us for a long time. We've got the gospel. Jesus Christ came about 2,000 years ago. And he lived the perfect life. He taught us how we should live. And he told us that he would die on this. So Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay the price of the sins of the whole world. So if we would but trust in him, our sins can be covered by his righteousness. He's been appealing to us. 2,000 years the gospel's been going out. He's calling. And finally God is saying, okay, time's running out. He brings these horrible judgments. He still has witnesses. He has the 144,000 Jews that are there to witness. We're going to read soon about the two great witnesses he has there in Jerusalem that will stand there and oppose Satan and will witness. And men will be hearing the gospel. We have the opportunity to repent. Amazingly, our hearts can be so hard-hearted that we wouldn't. Don't be like Pharaoh, who saw the horrible plagues and kept saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And he went. Until finally he lost all the firstborn in Egypt. And he broke down and said, okay, you can go. But then he again hardened his heart and went out to took out his army and his chariots to go and destroy the people of Israel. And he died under the waters of the Red Sea. Okay. Men can be that way. We can all be so stubborn. That's why it scares me. Anyone that hears the gospel and refuses to believe, you just calloused up your heart a little bit more. You made it harder. To the point it will be harder and harder for you to hear the convicting of God's word, God's Holy Spirit, and to turn your stiff neck and turn to God. We have that opportunity. Don't let anybody convince you that you don't. God is calling. He's still calling in these days of the very end when he gets there, when all these horrible plagues are coming. People should be flocking to him because these prophecies are being fulfilled before their very eyes. They can see that it's true. But most of them will refuse. That's horrible, but they will refuse. Don't let that be you. Soften your heart. Turn to Jesus Christ. Give him your life now. If you already have, renew your commitment to following him, reading his word, finding his will for your life, and following it day by day. And then we don't have to look forward to the end times with horrible dread. Now, we can dread it for the world, and say, oh, I don't want you to have to suffer these things. I want you to turn to Jesus Christ and be covered in the blood. Just like the Jews at the Passover in Egypt, they painted the blood of the Lamb above their doors. And when the death angel came, he passed over. God uses that for us. If we choose to cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus by accepting what he did on the cross, that he, the perfect one, paid the price for our sin. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ, our Lord. Accept him, then he will guide us and protect us and bring us to be with him no matter what the world has to come.